Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, Luka and Mikal, they both get their extensions. We'll talk about that. Also, Dame and CP3 proves that you can go home again. We'll talk about that as well. Dejounte Carrington on the move, and also a bit of breaking news coming through as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we're in the midst of it. The WNBA season is into the second half. I gave you a breakdown of the second half there, but I do have some WNBA news that I want to pass along to you guys. So we'll do that. But first, we'll deal with the NBA and the bit of news that has come down in that regard. And guys, you know, as always, to contribute to this show, it's in the scrolls there, guys. My Cash App is there. $GD, that sports dude. Also, my donate buttons on the website, Buy Me a Coffee, PayPal, and Spotify donate. All are there. So just a heads up, guys, and I'll talk about it at the end as well. So without any further delay, let's get into it. So talking NBA, guys, it's been a while since I've talked a little NBA. But important news has come through. Luka Doncic for the LA Lakers. Of course, you know he came over in that blockbuster deal at the trade, around the trade deadline. So him being a Laker now, the Lakers' new ownership, because remember, they changed hands, guys. Jeannie Buss is no longer the owner, the principal owner. Now that has changed hands into the hands of LA Dodgers owner, Mark Walter. So you have new ownership there. So they said, you know what? Let's lock in our prize player, Luka Doncic, 3 years, $65 million, guys. And that includes 2 years with a player option, guys, for 2028-29 season. So Luka, in essence, he gets his money. It's not the big bonanza he would have got if he had stayed with Dallas, but he still gets paid nonetheless. So there you have that. But Luka, hey, listen. Ever since he's come to LA, things have come up roses for him. He ended up being number one in jersey sales, guys, when the season was over and done. He was number one. Obviously, because of the change in uniform, so everybody's running out to get a Laker Luka jersey, of course. So you have that going for him. Also, guys, this offseason, lo and behold, he has been in the gym, guys. He's been working out, getting himself in shape. So much so, guys, that he ends up being on the cover of Men's Health magazine. That's the kind of work that Luka's been putting in this offseason. So, hey, listen, Luka, he's getting serious about this craft here of being a basketball player. Not to say he wasn't serious before, but, you know, there were rumblings about him being not in the greatest of shape while he was with Dallas. So he's come to LA. And then remember, you're playing with a guy like LeBron James who treats his body as a temple, if you will. And he does everything he can to maximize his potential within his body. So Stuff like that has to rub off. And it seems like, guys, early on it has. And Luka has made it his business to get himself right as far as getting healthy and all those things. So, Luka, getting it done as far as his body, sculpting that and getting that right. So, the franchise says, why not invest in him? I thought it was a fait accompli anyway. It's just a matter of working out the numbers. But, hey, you're getting Luka, a motivated Luka. And, guys, just to let you know what he did when he became a Laker, he played 28 games for them, guys, scoring over 28 points per game, over 8 rebounds, 7.5 assists, and over a steal and a half per game. So Luka was putting in that work, guys. So, and remember, this is a guy who once led the league in scoring. So as this season approaches, I expect those numbers to be up, guys. Those numbers that I just cited, I expect those to be to jump up big time. And then now, you should see a transitioning, if you will, of it being no longer LeBron's team, but now Luka's team. So that's going to be very intriguing, guys. And then also, let us not forget, in the offseason, they were able to add players like a DeAndre Ayton coming from Portland. I'll be interested to see the motor that he plays with as a Laker, because, you know, that's the big knock on him, that, you know, his motor doesn't rev, you know, the way it should. So I'll be very interested to see the kind of play he displays here as a Laker. The kid has top 10 center talent. He has that, guys. He can be a top 10 center in this league easily with the talent he has. It's just the motor has to be there, guys. Also, too, they bring in the forward Jake LaRavia from Sacramento. So you bring kind of a stretch four there as well that you bring in. And then also Marcus Smart is now a Laker. And he gets a lot of credit to Luka Doncic for kind of recruiting him to come over and play. So can we get a resurgence of Marcus Smart? Remember, he's about a few seasons away from being like that defensive guard. He can guard both positions pretty much. Tough nose player. So you're a few years removed from that. Can you get that from him as a Laker? It's quite possible, guys. And he sounds very motivated. So there you have that. And then also you have your returning Lakers, LeBron James, of course. Still him playing with that player option, guys. So that's hanging over the franchise a bit to see what they do as far as LeBron goes. Also, Austin Reeves. And then remember, guys, he declined a contract extension. So he's kind of playing with house money right about now. So I'll be interested to see that situation there. Rui Hachimura, your forward, who can play both forward positions. Gabe Vincent, he should be fully healthy now, guys. He's a few years removed from that knee injury he had. So we should see a better Gabe Vincent here, guys. Jared Vanderbilt, another guy, injury riddled, but coming into training camp, he should be healthy, guys. So you get a Jared Vanderbilt there. He could play a number of positions, guys, mostly up front. So this is a guy, definitely somebody the Lakers need if they want to be among those top six teams in the West. Maxi Kleber, another stretch four, if you will. He could play the five as well. Dalton Connect, who almost got moved at the trade deadline, but the Mark Williams deal fell through and he remained a Laker. I expect him to take a leap, a bit of a leap forward. Jackson Hayes, he'll remain there as well, as a backup center. And then Bronny James, who from all I heard, he looks good in summer league. So we'll see what happens with Bronny there. And then also, too, again, if a move is made with LeBron, I fully expect Bronny to be part of any LeBron deal if it were to go down. So there's that. But when all is said and done, the Lakers signed their man, Luka Doncic, to the extension, and we'll see what happens from there. So that is the Lakers stories, guys. Let us move on. Mikal Bridges for the New York Knicks. He signs a four-year extension, guys, for $150 million, guys. And that is a three-year deal with a player option for 2029-30 season. And then also, two guys, he has a trade kicker in his contract. In other words, if he gets dealt, he gets a percentage boost. I believe it's 15%, if I'm not mistaken. I could look into that. But, yeah, so Mikal Bridges. I thought it was – here's another one that where I thought it was pretty much a fait accompli as far as the Knicks re-signing him. I thought that was pretty much a done deal as far as that goes. Now, here's what I will say in that regard with him signing that extension. Now you have him locked in. You have Karl Anthony Towns for the next two seasons. And then, you know, you have to think about his contract situation as far as that goes. But, and then also, too, remember, doubling back to Mikal, he now, you want to see him playing better now. You want to see him with Mike Brown at his disposal there. You want to see him definitely playing much better. I mean, during the season, he did average. He played in every game, guys. Averaged over 17.5 points per game. Little above 3 rebounds, above 3.5 assists. So you have that there. And then also, he took less money, guys. He could have made himself an extra $6 million off the top right there. And then if he would have waited until possibly mid-season or towards the off-season, he could have made himself even more money, depending on how he performs. So, Mikal kind of giving the Knicks kind of a discount there, just in case they need to make moves. So there you have that. But here's what I want to say, guys. Here's what I want to say in that regard. So now you have him signed on the dotted line, right? Last season, you gave that extension to OG Anunoby. So right now, as it stands, for the 2025-26 season, both OG and McHale will make 63.5 million. And then following that season, 2026-27, they'll jump up to 76, just a little under 76 million between the two players. Then you go to 2027-28, where both of them will make 81.5 million. And then for that following season, he will make, well, both of them will make a combined $87.2 million. I say all this to say that you're paying a lot of money to two guys who have yet to make an all-star team. So what I'm saying with this is between the two, actually it should be both of them, to be honest with you. You want to see all-star level play from both of these guys. Are you going to get that? I can't say right now. I like the fact that, you know, you have a Mike Brown coming in. I think he's going to be able to make sure these guys are not overexerted as far as minutes goes. I know McHale takes a lot of pride in playing the 82 games. I understand that. I get that. But I think it'll be some days where, you know, they're possibly blowing somebody out or what have you, where Mike Brown maybe goes to his bench a little more, particularly on a back-to-back, in order to preserve guys like McHale, preserve guys like OG. So I think Mike Brown will be able to pull that off. So there is that as far as that goes. But I just wanted to make a point that those guys are making a lot of money, and you want to see all-star breakout performances from one of the two guys, if not both. You'll be ecstatic if you get it from both, but one of the two, you have to see all-star caliber play if you're paying them this kind of money. I'm just saying. I don't hear anybody else saying that. I'm saying it. So there you go. So there you have it with that. Also, outside of one last roster spot that they need to fill, I think the Knicks are done as far as the offseason goes. They still have a bit of the extension. I think they want to do a wait and see with Mitchell Robinson because, of course, the injury history. You want to make sure he gets through a good part of the season pretty much unscathed as far as injury goes before they start talking extension. So, I mean, that's the fair thing to do, to be honest with you. You don't want to just throw money at Mr. Robinson knowing the kind of, you know, the bevy of injuries he's amassed over time. So I think the Knicks are doing the prudent thing. Let him play. Let him get out there. And if he's showing that, you know, he's that guy, then you definitely want to talk extension with him and get him at a price where you're not breaking the bank as far as salary goes. They're pretty much in the wait and see with that. But apart from that, you know, I heard there was a guy on socials talking about, oh, now the Giannis thing is dead and over with. I think Giannis coming here was realistic to begin with. I think Milwaukee now wants to play it out. Now that they got a Miles Turner there, they want to play this thing out and see what happens over there with Milwaukee. I still say Doc Rivers is on a very hot seat, guys. I think he has the hottest seat of any coach in the NBA right now. Very hot seat, guys. So what they do in the first couple of months will go a long way as far as Milwaukee goes. But again, I think the Giannis to New York stuff was realistic anyway. So the Knicks now can't move a guy like McHale until 6 months into his contract. I don't think they're even thinking about that at this point. But yeah, so I think the Knicks, for the most part, they're staying pat. So there you have that. So that is the Knicks story, guys. Let us continue. Dame Lillard. Now, remember, guys, he tore that ACL in the playoffs, guys. So he's pretty much going to be out for the season. But he was bought out by Milwaukee. So they're basically going to pay him the $90 million over the course of four seasons, guys, at $22.5 million per year. They spread out the contract. So right now, the way it's looking, Dame Lillard, he's getting the $22.5 million, like I said. But he is now going back to Portland. Portland signed him, guys. 3 years, $42 million. So Dame Lillard going back to familiar territory by going back to Portland. He was happy about it. You know, he has his kids there. You know, he's built his career. That's where he started. That's where he made his bones, guys. So Dame Lillard goes back to familiar surroundings by going back to Portland. Now, he will sit out the 2025-26 season with the torn ACL. So get this, guys. For 2025-26, as he's rehabbing the knee, he will be making $36.5 million in rehab. It's good money if you can get it, guys, you know. Good money, but Portland, you know, they say, you know what? No, we sent him to Milwaukee in hopes that, you know, he wins a championship there, what have you. That hasn't come to fruition. They let him go. Hey, why don't we just scoop him up before somebody else does? And they're doing the smart thing because, you know, they're getting him at a reasonable price, guys, for a talent like Damian Lillard. You're getting them at a bargain basement price. And he's dedicated to the era now. You got some people that's saying, oh, he should have waited and went to a contender. Guys, I don't think initially he wanted to leave Portland to begin with. I just think all the outside chatter is what made Portland make the move and send Dame Lillard out. I think it was more that than anything else, in my estimation. So I don't even think that, like I said, I don't think they wanted to deal him to begin with. But they got all those assets back for him, so they have that. They get to keep those assets. Now you have Dame Lillard by dealing him. So again, it's a win-win, guys. Dame Lillard, he's happy as can be being in Portland because that's a place he knows, a place he's grew up in. So I say I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the guy. You know, we live now in this culture of ring chasing and all these sort of things. When you hear something like this, this is refreshing. This is refreshing. A guy like Dame, he's going to the Hall of Fame. There's no question about it. So he's content with who he is and where he's at as far as his career goes. So I can't knock the man for doing what he feels is right, and that's going back to Portland. So kudos to him. I applaud him for he's a loyal guy. That's the one thing you can say about Dame. He is loyal to the soil, so you give him that. And then also for Dame, not done there, his former alma mater, Weber State, they hired him as a GM guy. So while he's rehabbing, he'll have GM duties for the university. So Dame Lillard is winning all the way around, guys. So adds on top of that, the $36.5 million and whatever Weber State's gonna pay him to be a GM over there. So he's winning all across the board. So again, kudos to Dame Lillard. And, you know, I wish good things for him going back over there. I know a guy like Chauncey Billups is happy to have him back in the fold. So we'll see what happens there. And hey, listen, maybe he can teach some of those point guards over there. You know, some of them wet behind the ears. A guy like Scoot Henderson, you get to learn behind a Dame Lillard. That can only help you. It can't hurt you. So there you have it. And other going home news, Chris Paul heading back to LA, LA Clippers, of course, that is, for 1 year at the veteran minimum, $3.6 million. So, Chris Paul, I think this could be his last go around. I'm just saying. I think the fact that he's going back to a familiar place, I think this could be it for him. So now he spent 6 years with the Clippers, guys. Remember, you know, he was part of Lob City and all those things with guys like Blake Griffin, also DeAndre Jordan and all those guys there. He played for them over 400 games, averaging nearly 19 points a game, almost 10 assists, guys. Wow. Over 4 rebounds and well over 2 steals per game that he averaged for them. Shooting over the course of those 6 years, 47.5% from the field, nearly 38% from three, and over 88% from the free throw line. That's the kind of work that CP3 put in as a Clipper. And guys, as a Clipper, 5 times an All-Star, 6 times defensive player, all defense rather, first team, by the way, and then 5-time All-NBA, 3 as the first teamer, 2 as a second teamer. And guys, he returns there. So now you have a solid backup to James Harden. In fact, you can get away with a Harden-Chris Paul backfield even. You know, you have Harden play off the ball. You can even go there as well. So Portland, the Clippers, guys, they seem to be loading up, guys. They also add Bradley Beal, who was bought out by the Phoenix Suns. He was bought out. He signs a 2-year, nearly $11 million deal. So, and in terms of his buyout, guys, he gets bought out. He actually leaves money on the table, guys. It was a $110 million contract. He leaves $13.9 million. So say $14 million he leaves on the table. So over the course of 5 seasons, the Suns will pay him at $96.1 million. So it comes out to $19.3 million for the next 5 years that he'll be on their books. Now, With that, next season, he will be getting paid, guys, with the money he's getting from the Clippers and then the buyout money from the Suns. Next year, he'll be making $24.7 million. Wow. But Bradley Beal, you know, he had that option there, he had the no trade clause, which was, you know, absolutely killer. But he accepts this buyout and he goes to greener pastures playing with the Clippers. Now you have Chris Paul, Bradley Beal. Also remember they added Brook Lopez via free agency. Remember that, guys. And then also, I reported about this a couple of episodes ago. John Collins was part of that Norman Powell deal that sent him to Miami. John Collins ends up in with the Clippers. So they've added four pieces, guys, four major pieces. It seems the Clippers are going for it. But what a lot of people are saying is that, you know, they're adding a lot of age, whereas you just had one of the youngest franchises ever to win a NBA championship in the Oklahoma City Thunder. So will an experienced team like the Clippers be able to overtake a youthful Oklahoma City Thunder team? Seemed like this was the old way of doing business, but you know, they have some depth now. They definitely have some depth. And you know, you have some guys just in case you're missing Kawhi for whatever ails him, because you know he has a bit of an injury history there. Bradley Beal's another one with an injury history as well. So you have some pieces there where, you know, the injury stuff could play a factor, but we'll see what happens. But it looks like Clippers are loading up. So what Ty Lue can do as the mad scientist over there with all these pieces, we'll see what happens. But yeah, so again, Chris Paul comes home going to the Clippers. And they also add a Bradley Beal to the mix, thus fortifying their bench. So there you have it. All right, and then the last NBA item I wanted to mention, and this just came down the pike, guys. This is kind of breaking news. De'Aaron Fox, guys, who longtime Sacramento King, came over in the trade at the trade deadline to the San Antonio Spurs right around that time. He signs the max extension, guys, with the Spurs. 4 years, $229 million. Gracious. So, guys, man, you're talking big money right here, guys. So, he's getting that. That puts him at about nearly 56? That puts him at 50. Yeah. Right around that area there. So, a little under that. So, De'Aaron Fox, hey, he wanted to be on the move. He wanted to be in a place like San Antonio. And he gets rewarded, guys. Now, guys, when he came over, he only played 17 games because, remember, he injured his pinky and thus they shut him down for the season. 17 games he played, just under 20 points per game, nearly 7 assists, well over 4 rebounds, and a steal and a half for him. Shot it okay from the field. Nearly 45%. He was horrendous from three. Yeah, he has a bit of a history from three where he's leaves a lot to be desired. And then nearly 82% from the free throw line. So De'Aaron Fox, a vital piece for the San Antonio Spurs there. Of course, joining the likes of Victor Wembanyama, Stephon Castle, your rookie of the season for last season, Dylan Harper, who's the second pick in this past draft here, coming over. Also, Devin Vassell you have. So, some nice young pieces, guys. And right now, Fox, the floor general for them. So, a lot of promise for the San Antonio Spurs. But, you know, of course, we have to see the situation with Victor Wembanyama. Remember, he was shut down with the blood clot situation. So, that bears some watching. But looks like San Antonio's building for the future. So, kudos there. So, all right. So, that's the NBA news. And then I did want to touch on the WNBA right quick. Breaking news before I talk about DeJounay. And this just literally came within minutes of me going on the air. Nafisha Collier, guys, and I saw this game where they went to Vegas to play the Aces and absolutely slaughtered them. They ended up winning the game by 53 points, which is the largest road win in league history, guys. That's the kind of work that the Minnesota Lynx put in on the Las Vegas Aces. But coming out of that game, late in the third quarter, Nafisha Collier comes down awkwardly on her leg. You knew it was a lower leg injury, so you were hoping it wasn't torn ACL or anything like that. Thankfully, good news. It's just a right ankle sprain. So the Lynx absolutely dodged a bullet, guys. So right now, Nafisha, she'll be sidelined for 2 weeks. So they want to make, you know, of course, they're going for it, guys. They're going for that championship. So you want to make sure your key vital weapon in Nafisha Collier is when she comes back on the court, she's right and good to go. So 2 weeks, she'll be out, which means she'll miss that Sunday game coming up against the New York Liberty, a game that I'll be at, by the way. So there you have that. But Nafisha won't be playing in that game. So, and then also you got a situation with Stewie, who she's out without a timetable, guys. Kind of a similar injury as well, the ankle. So I don't think she'll be back in time for that, Stewie. So we'll see what happens. But, yes, though, Nafisha Collier out to 2 weeks with a ankle sprain. Again, that's good news, guys, because initially it didn't look all that great. But she was kind of able to come off the court with a little bit of health. So at least she kind of breathed a sigh of relief. But this is good news, guys. Trust me when I tell you, because the way it looked, I was like, whoa. But Nafisha Collier out 2 weeks. Ankle sprain. All right, so staying with the Minnesota Lynx. Now, remember, guys, they missed out on Emma Mieseman. She ends up going to the New York Liberty. But they were able to make a trade, guys. They acquired DeJounay Carrington, guys, from the Dallas Wings. And in order to get DeJounay, and, of course, ship somebody out. Diamond Miller goes to Dallas. Also, Carly Samuelson, who's currently out with a knee injury herself. She's out. So they get the rights to Carly Samuelson. And then also they get 2027 second-round picks. So all of that going to Dallas. And in order for Dallas to absorb this trade, They had to waive somebody. They end up waiving Tierra McCowan, their center there. Tierra McCowan, it's no secret, guys. She's been on the outs with this coach there. Coach Chris Cassianis. I can never get his name right. I hope I'm getting it right. But, yeah, the coach over there, Chris. She's been on the outs with him, guys. Last season, she played in 39 games. She started 38 of them, averaging just under 12 points per game, over 8 rebounds, shooting it from the field for 57%, and also from the free throw line, nearly 72%. But this year, playing half of the minutes that she played last season, appearing in only 17 games, guys, coming off the bench. She hasn't started all season long, averaging a little over 5.5 points per game and over 4.5 rebounds, shooting at 53.7% from the field and nearly 76% from the free throw line, which is an improvement. So there's that. But, yeah, so you see the numbers are way down for McCowan. And, you know, a lot of people want to say that, oh, you know, she doesn't work hard enough, this and that. And then, you know, remember, too, there was that big trade where Satu went to Phoenix, and in order to make the money right, he sent Kalani Brown over there. And I was kind of like, are you sure you sent out the right center? I was kind of thinking that they might have sent McCowan out, but it ended up being Brown, who's playing very well for the Phoenix Mercury, by the way. But yeah, so McCowan now, free agent, she can go wherever she wishes now. Couple of places in my head. Connecticut is definitely a place she could end up landing. It'd be nice if she lands somewhere like that, somewhere with a veteran like Tina Charles there to kind of, you know, maybe mentor her a little bit, if you will. That would be an ideal place. I've heard other people say send her to the Aces. You know, I mean, there she can learn from Asia Wilson. But, yeah, those places there, I'm trying to think of another place that could use her. I wouldn't say Chicago, unless you knew Angel Reese, who's currently battling injuries now herself. Unless you knew that you were shutting Angel down for the season, then you bring in a McCowan. You can do that. But apart from that, I don't see her going to a place like the Valkyrie. I don't see her going to a place like Washington. So everybody else is in playoff contention. So, yeah, you would have to bring her in and then hope, you know, you catch lightning in a bottle. So, there you have that. But DeJounte Carrington going to the Lynx, a major get for Minnesota, especially now with the news of Nafisa Collier. So, you bring in a DeJounte Carrington, who was, mind you, coming off the bench for the Wings. She'll do similar for the Minnesota Lynx. She is a two-way player, guys. In fact, last season, she won Most Improved Player. Also, she was on the all-defense team, first-teamer. So she's known for, you know, her seatbelt celebration. So she is a player. And then, mind you, too, She's played with the stud buds over there, Courtney Williams and Letitia Heidemann. They all played together when they were with the Connecticut Sun. So there's familiarity as far as that goes. So I think this is a no-brainer move. This is a move that helps this team, doesn't hurt it, definitely helps it. And you bring in a dog off your bench, guys. So brilliant move by Cheryl Reeves and the front office folks over there with the Lynx. And this is the kind of move that, hey, that really puts you in the driver's seat as far as the rest of the season and playoffs goes. So there's that. And then for Dallas, I think for them, they want to see what they have in a Diamond Miller. Diamond Miller, she's battled injuries pretty much the bulk of her time with the Lynx. She did play well early in the season coming off the bench and then kind of, kind of hot cold, but she's getting a full opportunity now, guys. You know, Dallas, they want to mine as much young talent as they can. So you bring in a Diamond Miller, she can be a piece along with a Paige Beckers there. So she'll get ample opportunity over there. So we'll see what happens. Now, here's my question. Is Dallas done making deals? Is Dallas finished making deals? Is Arike Ogunbowale next to be on the move? We'll see. We'll see come Thursday, August 7th. We'll see if anything comes down the pike. But listen, guys, it wouldn't shock me if Arike Ogunbowale was on the move. Wouldn't shock me at all. You know a team that can use her? The Las Vegas Aces, they could use her. So maybe there's a way to bring her, maybe involve a third team, if you will, because the Jewel Lloyd experiment is just not working, guys. So I think Dallas, if anything, they want to get some, maybe some draft capital back. I don't think they want to play necessarily. So maybe some draft capital and then redirect Jewel Lloyd somewhere else. So keep an eye on those two names come the trade deadline. So we'll see what happens there. But so Minnesota gets better. Dallas gets them a promising player. And then Tierra McCowan, she could either just not latch on to another team and then just head overseas, do a thing over there, and then come back in the offseason as a free agent, or somebody latches on to her for the duration of the season. We'll see. So, all right, guys, so that is it. I thank you for listening, as always. All Things Basketball with GD.com is the website. There you'll find all the episodes, all the clips. They're all there, guys. Again, Donate, guys. Cash App, $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is the Cash App. Also on my website, my donate buttons are there for PayPal, buy me a coffee, or for Spotify, donate. You give to the show, guys. Give to the show. I bring you this nice, fresh content, guys. Help a brother out. Also, podcast platforms, I'm on all of them. Apple, Amazon, all the things, guys. I'm on all of them. So leave 5-star reviews, guys. 5-star reviews wherever you see it. YouTube, I'm on YouTube. As you know, guys, whether it's my full episodes or clips, I'm there. LinkedIn, I usually put a link there for my website, guys. And then also socials, TikTok for the moment. We'll see what happens in September with this supposed sale or whatever they do. Instagram, some Facebook, some Blue Sky, and that's pretty much it. So thank you for listening as always. And guys, NBA schedule, supposed to be due this month, guys. When it comes out, I'll break it down. You know how I get down. So, all right, guys, thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.